Is that better for anyone? Are we still?
Are we okay now? No.
Is that on?
Yeah.
Right. Very good. If you can't hear, come forward and we'll pray for you right away that you might receive your hearing. Now, the amazing thing is the fact that, first of all, I want to say this, that things aren't always what they appear to be. Let's get this right. Things are not what they always appear to be. And we went up to a Christian camp up to Scotland a few weeks ago. And what was very sad there, it was a wonderful camp of Christian people, and they could, and everything else, but what they lacked was this: they lacked the Word of God. We shan't be going again. Do you know that most of the people come to the meeting, not many people have their Bibles with them, and when the preaching took place, they wouldn't open up and read the scriptures or base what they're saying on scripture. It was very sad to see it. Dear friends, hold to the truth of Holy Scripture. But then it was a very eventful time, because the Lord arranged it whereby that after the last night's meeting, and we were camping, by the way, and Susan fell ill, and we collapsed the tent, and I took Susan into Glasgow Royal Infirmary and the A&E there, and then she was up in the wards, and I was a good boy visiting and speaking to other people as well. And the consultants and everyone, it was really good how they looked after Susan. And then on the Thursday, we were discharged, or Susan was discharged, and I was kicked out. And the thing was the fact that Debbie, our daughter down in Cornwall, she said, "Oh, Dad," she said, she would arrange accommodation. The fact when we got partway down, we went down the motorway at about two and a half hours, and we called in a place there to spend the night before we continued to travel back into God's good country down in Cornwall. And the thing was the fact that we entered. So Debbie said, "Oh, Dad, I booked up a really nice place." And in actual fact, it's a hard job to find a place to book, but I found this lovely place. It's a nice guest house. And I'm sure you will like it, and it will be perfectly adequate for the evening. I said, "Well, that's fine, Debs, that's good." And we found it by the help of the sat-nav, and we discovered the location, and we came. And there was a sign on the door, which the people that run the guest house, if you like, they didn't live at the guest house, but they'd written up where we all were, who were going to be the residents that night. And suddenly, to our surprise and delight, we found the fact that we were allotted the garden cabin. The garden cabin around the corner. So we said, "Well, that's fine. We've been used to the shepherd's hut and the tree house up in the Hebrides." So here we were. Allotted the garden cabin. But what was really interesting is the fact we turned the corner, we opened the door and turned the corner, and suddenly it had directions for the love shack. How amazing, eh? How things progress, isn't it? Eh? How things progress. And I said to Susan, I said, "This is astonishing." And then, of course, when Debbie phoned up and said, "Is your accommodation all right?" And Susan said, "You'd never believe this, Debs." And she told the story to Debbie. And, of course, it was great laughter and great fun between Debbie and Susan. And I said, "Well, you know, aren't you pleased that you have a husband that goes with the flow on this kind of thing? I mean, and we don't take umbrage." Anyway, so things aren't always what they appear to be. This wonderful room in this lovely guest house suddenly become the garden cabin, and then become the love shack. And it was only for one night, folks, so hold your breath. And then, you see, and so it was with Elisha. So it was with Elisha. He woke up this morning, and his companion, his young man, he brings him bad news. He says, "You'll never believe this. The enemy is at the gate. The enemy is at the gate." And dear friends, we're living in times when the enemy is at the gate of the Christian. There's no doubt about that. The Christians that are suffering from health issues, financial issues, crisis in this area, crisis in that area, very often in the family. Dear friends, we are all in the mix together. But I want to say this to you this morning, that Jesus would say to us, open your eyes. Open your eyes. And when we open our eyes, we see the heavenly host. And we see that they are mightier and more wonderful and more glorious than anything else. You see, the unbeliever and the wicked and the will tell us that God is dead, when in actual fact they're dead. We live in a time when the generations of people are saying, we got to save the planet. The planet doesn't need saving. They need saving. We live in a time when everything is saying, whoa, we got to be so correct about this and what we do about that, because I tell you, dear friend, there's one law that is above the law of this land, and that is the law of God. And there are laws upon our statute book that should never be there. And dear friends, there's politicians and there's others that will be brought before the judgment seat of God and brought to account. It is an abomination in the sight of God. And the tragedy is this. I can stand up in a church meeting and I can speak like this. And do you know that many, many Christians would not agree with me? Dear friends, you know, and I know that I'm in good company this morning, and you know where we are in God's timetable of this earth. And the sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The fair, sweet morn I sighed for, morn awakes. Dear friends, we know that we are living in the last days, and this is not scaremongery. It is what it is. It's a fact of living with knowledge of God's plan for your life and for my life and for our loved ones and our friends. These are days when we're seeing the great countdown of time. And we are seeing how the evil one is stealing the minds of people by all the iPad and all the, I don't understand it all, but the internet and also the iPhones and everything else. I tell you, dear friends, stealing the mind and telling lies, real lies, blatant lies. Do you know the fact that it's not within the school remit whereby creation is taught? It is not if geologists are not able to have a professional career because if they believe in the Noah's flood, which is factual, and you have all kinds of things happening, and the world and the unbeliever and the devil is mad because his time is short, and he's fighting and he's warring against everything that is right and true, heavenly and holy and eternal. And dear friends, we choose to be on the Lord's side. We choose to be God's people. We choose to know our sins forgiven through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We choose to worship the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us upon the cross of Calvary. We are so grateful and we are so thankful to the Lord that it's by the knowledge of the Word of God we are given understanding concerning life and living, which will enable us to be more than conquerors now and triumphant in glory. Hallelujah. People can say what they wish and they can have all the theories they like. And they will be twice as damned as what they were before because they think they're wiser than God and they think they can overthrow the purposes of God. Dear friends, we've got a lot of pompous people who think and would determine the fact they know better than God. And you hear them every day. And they will say to us on the television that so many million years ago, and that so many million years ago this happened and that happened, and that how how everything is going to work out is, they have their theories. But dear friends, we have the document. We have the document of our sovereign King, of our sovereign God, and he will bring his purposes to pass. And isn't it lovely? You know, with Susan being so ill, the Lord has restored her. And dear friends, what I believe is this. When I was a young man, the Lord healed me of my back injury and deformity in the base of my spine. The Lord healed me of my lungs when 20% was permanently damaged. And they said there was treatment but no cure. Why would the Lord heal me if it wasn't the fact that he said it in his word? I wasn't looking. This is the fourth. I was wanting to be healed immediately and wonderfully with my back injury and deformity in the base of my spine. But when it was my lungs, I was so weak, I was down to 8.5 stone, folks. I was so weak and I was so frail, I didn't care whether I lived or died. But the Lord kept me and the Lord blessed me. And 12 months later, when I went down to Freedom Fields Hospital and had tests, I wasn't thinking about the Lord healing me. The main thing was I was still alive. And the main thing was that I wasn't feeling too bad. But the Lord does better. The Lord does better in our thoughts and our feelings. And dear friends, I want to say this morning, I feel militant. I feel militant for the Word of God. I feel militant. The Bible says to me that he has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And if that wasn't for God to fulfill them, I don't know what other reason they are in the Holy Scripture in the first place. My God is faithful when everything else is unfaithful. My God is true when everything else is false. My God is wonderful. Wonderful. There is none like him. And he created you and I in his own image. Don't look in the mirror suddenly. But he created us in his own image for his own glory. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, dear friend. And the thought come to my mind is this. Things aren't always what they appear to be. Now, you might say, well, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling that. I tell you, dear friend, there will be an opportunity when we finish. You can come to the Lord and we'll pray together in the name of Jesus for your miracle this morning. And I know someone said to me once, they said they were in a meeting where there was the opportunity for prayer. And she came to me after all the opportunity, the meeting and the opportunity had gone by. And she said to me, oh, Richard, she said, have I done wrong? She said, I've got an awful pain in my back. I suffer in my back terrible. And I didn't go out for prayer. And I said to her, well, it's your pain and it's your back. It's up to you, isn't it? You know, and perhaps I should have been a little bit more sympathetic. But when I see Vera now, I mean, we're on good terms. We didn't mean anything by it. But that's how it is. If you want to live with what you got, you live with what you got. If you want to suffer with what you have, you suffer with it. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And we will claim the promises that are ours. The enemy comes and he surrounds Elisha and this young man who was a servant of Elisha. And what did he? They wanted to put the pressure on. They wanted to put the fear in. They wanted to destroy the joy and the anticipation what another day could bring. And the enemy comes against you and the enemy comes against me. And he wants to screw us down. And he wants to make us hurt. And he wants to make us feel pain. And he wants to destroy the joy of living and loving our Savior and our Redeemer. I tell you, dear friends, I feel so militant that Elisha said to the Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And we all need our eyes open to the heavenly and to the divine and to the spiritual. We all need to have our eyes open. It's not the fact, oh, well, I see it, don't you? It's not like that. Oh, we need to pray for one another. Now, there was a lovely thought that crossed my mind. You know, Elijah comes out of nowhere in a sense in Holy Scripture. And he's the Elijah, the man of God who calls upon the Lord to answer by fire. He's the man of God who is able to raise the dead. He's the man of God. He comes to the Jordan and he takes the mantle and he strikes the water and even the waters part. So that he can go across on dry land. What a man of God. He confronts the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And when he's got the victory, what does he do? He takes them down by the beard, down to the brook, and he kills a lot of them. Hey, that's a militant thing to do. 450 capital offenses because he's slain the prophets of Baal. And then what's the queen called? Jezebel. How could I forget a name like that? Jezebel. He's got her wrath to contend with. Well, but the thing was this. When God showed Elijah it was time, the earthly pilgrimage was done. Elisha had waited upon Elijah as a young man. And he had washed his feet and he'd cared for Elijah. It was a wonderful day when Elijah crossed the plowfield and he cast his mantle upon Elisha. It was because Elisha was plowing with a yoke of oxen, and he was the 12th yoke of oxen in the field. I tell you, dear friends, must have been a big field. They're plowing one furrow at a time. And he was with the 12th yoke of oxen, and Elijah comes along and he casts his mantle upon Elisha, and Elisha pulls the oxen out and takes them home, and father says, "What are you doing, Elisha?" And he said, "I've got the call of God. Elijah, the man of God, has put the call of God upon my life. I'm going to follow him." And you say, "Well, you can't do that. Look at all this land. It's all yours. See what an inheritance you got." And Elisha says, "My life is following my Savior. My life is serving the Lord God of Israel." And this was at a time when Israel had fallen into desperate wickedness and sin, just like our society today in comparison to what it was once. Dear friends, the Lord delivered us from two world wars. He wonderfully delivered us miraculously from two world wars. But what we've done with the peace is shocking, absolutely shocking. But here, so Elisha, he takes the yoke of oxen and he kills them. And he takes the plow and the instruments that he's using, and he burns them on the altar. And he says, "This is a defining moment. I am going to live for God. I am going to be the servant of the man of God." And then when the time came and God said to Elijah, "I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to bring you home." My goodness me, very often, it's like the undertaker said, it's a living. But there was no undertaker required for Elijah. It's amazing. We got an undertaker up our way called Garfield, lovely fellow. But I say to Garfield, it's always lovely to see you, Garfield. But the problem is, you're always bad news. And the thing is the fact that here Elijah was. And he knows the Lord's coming to take him up to glory. And Elisha, listen to this. Elisha keeps close to Elijah. And he says, and a number of times Elijah tried to get rid of Elisha just to say, give us a break, give us a bit of space. But Elisha wouldn't do it. They stuck to Elijah like that. And then Elijah said to Elisha, he said, "What do you want? What do you desire?" Now, isn't that a question? And if that question was put to you and I this morning, what would we say? What do you want? What do you want? Never mind what anybody else wants. What do you want? And you might say, "Oh, well, that's being selfish." No, it's not being selfish. It's what is your desire? You remember it says in the scriptures, he says, that commit your way unto the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will. Praise God, he will. This is spiritual laws that the Lord has given unto us in his holy word. And Elisha says to Elijah, he said, "I want a double portion of the Spirit of God that is upon you. I want a double portion that it was upon you to be upon me." And Elijah said, "You've asked a hard thing." Well, it's good to ask a hard thing. It's good to challenge the things of God. I prayed that Lord, and others have prayed, that Susan will be healed, and thank you for your prayers. And now what I am saying now is saying, Lord, I thank you for healing my wife. I thank you for healing my wife. Why should I keep on asking when the Lord says, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full and your heavenly Father may be glorified. I tell you, dear friends, you see, open our eyes. What do you see? And then the great question is, what do you want? And Elisha says, I want a double portion of his spirit. And he said, if you see me go, you'll have it. My goodness me. And when the horsemen of God came down and the horses and the chariots of fire took Elijah up into glory, Elisha was looking and Elisha was longing, and he saw the mantle come down out of the sky and fall at his feet, and he took the mantle up. And he went to the River Jordan and he took the mantle in his hand and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And the waters parted. Isn't that something? Oh, the prophets on the other side that were looking, they said, the Spirit of the Lord that was upon Elijah is now resting upon Elisha. And time would reveal the fact that he truly had a double portion. Dear friends, this morning, we not only need Pentecost, but we need a double portion. Now, here's a thought. Here's another thought. Gehazi was ministering unto Elisha. And you think to yourself, he was seeing the miracles. He was hearing the counsel of this man of God, Elisha, in this time of great wickedness. And Elisha entrusted to Gehazi great things in the spiritual ministry of the Word of God. But when Naaman came, and when God had cured the leprosy on Naaman, Naaman was full of rewards. He is full of rewards, and this was the downfall of Gehazi, because he thought, I'll have a little on the side just for myself. But my little pension plan in my back pocket, eh? Nothing like it, is there? I mean, it's reasonable to think that way. It's certainly not, it's not unreasonable when man's so full of money and so full of charity to have a little in your back pocket. Well, Elisha wasn't taking it lightly. And Elisha said to Gehazi, he said, where have you been? Did not my heart go with you? Did not I see where you were and what you were doing and what your intent was? Oh, you see, spiritual eyes and a spiritual witness within are wonderful gifts and graces which the Holy Spirit gives to you and I, not only to Elisha and not only to Elijah, but to you and I. You know, we can read in the New Testament of the gifts and the graces of God's Holy Spirit. We're all co-workers together in Christ. We all have different functions in the body of Christ, but we are all empowered and enabled to fulfill them by God's Holy Spirit. And the leprosy that was upon Naaman fell upon Gehazi, and he went out white as a leper. That's tragic, folks. That's tragic. That is absolutely tragic, but it happened. And it happened in the presence of our Lord, when all the disciples were there and they saw the miracles and they were part of the miracle and they were part of the witness for the gospel. But Judas, in his heart, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, dear friends, what wickedness, what evil that he'd harbored in his heart and in his soul. But God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we find that Gehazi, just think about this. Gehazi, what do you want? What do you want, Gehazi? Gehazi could have requested of the Lord, he could have requested of Elisha, because he was in that privileged position. He could have said, Elisha, I want a double portion of your spirit. He could have, couldn't he? My goodness me, that would make the fireworks go up in smoke, wouldn't it? Hey, Elisha had twice as much as Elijah, And God could have given Gehazi twice as much as Elisha. I tell you, dear friends. And this morning, the Lord is saying to us, what do you want? What is the desire of your heart? The longing to see souls saved. The longing to see people revel in the truth of God's word. The longing to see the manifestation of the power and the glory of God. Dear friends, we are in our day and generation called to be a faithful remnant unto God. To be true when everything else is false. To stand up and to speak up even at the bus stop. Hey, isn't that wonderful? And you feel good afterwards, don't you? Hey, you feel real good. Yeah. And you say, well, you know, I'm just a little me. And yeah, well, I know. And I'm just little me. Did you know that? But the lovely thing is, we do things in littles. We do things in little steps. How do you walk from John O'Groats, from Land's End to John O'Groats? One step at a time. And that's how it is in the Christian pilgrimage. One step at a time. You say, well, you know, and I learned this when I was farming. You know, sometimes there are witnesses in my spirit say, you go back and make sure that gate's shut. And I said, well, I know it's shut. I mean, I understand it's shut. I would go back, and there the apse would be off. And I said, oh, my goodness, good job, I checked. And that's how the Lord trains us to listen to his voice. And it might be the fact that the Lord speaks into your heart and say, you better put the top on the tin. And you say, well, I've already done it. And you say, I better check it. And you check it. And you say, ah, listening to the voice of God. You see, it happens in the little things of life. And in those little things of life, we progress. And the Lord says, speak to this person. You say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. Of course you can. You can speak to anybody else. And you in friendship evangelism, there's nothing like it. It's amazing. It's wonderful, friendship evangelism. And every time you speak to a person, you have this question in your mind, how can I get in here, Lord? Open a way that I can start speaking to this person about Jesus. Because that's the way we go forward in our development in the Christian faith. That's how we flourish. That's how we grow and nourish and bring forth fruit in our lives, being true to Jesus. It's I know a church whereby that there are people there, and they want the gospel according to them. They want the gospel according to them, and they say, "Well, we're strong on the word, you know, but all this Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, not for me." We don't need that here. And I think to myself, no. The Lord wants his church his way. He is Lord of the church. It's not for us to dictate to God about. And I had a wonderful agreement with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I would accept everything that's happening in a meeting. I would accept everything that's happening in a meeting as long as it is substantiated within Holy Scripture. So when people began to speak in tongues, is it in Holy Scripture? Yes, it is. Interpretation of tongues. Is the preacher preaching from the Word of God? If he is, amen. If he's not, speak to him. Don't let him get away with it. Don't let him get away with it. Too much nonsense has been going on in the pulpit. I tell you, I mustn't say no more. But the thing is, the fact that it's a lovely thing. It must be. It must be God's way. And God's way, I just pray, Lord. Lord, here I am, wholly available. Might be old and ugly, but Lord, if you can use a spare wheel, here I am. Eh? And I think to myself, possess me, Lord. I want you to possess me. You go down to Boscastle, you see the Witchcraft Museum, and you see people in the occult. What do? They've got seances and everything else, and they want to be filled with demons and the devil himself. And here we are Christians and we say, oh Lord, we'll let you come so close, but no closer. I say, Lord, my heart's door is open. Fill me with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, pray. You know, let's get right in there. It's like when, well, I mean, the ocean is warm this year. Did you know that? Have you been in it? The ocean is warm this year, but I still wear my wetsuit. And it's better. Anyway, that's enough. And the thing is, the fact you... But if the water is cold, I tell you, there's one way to overcome the cold, and that is you got to plunge right in. And you get flapping about, and your movement and will warm you up, and you say, oh, this is wonderful. Why didn't I come before? But dear friends, and that is the Christian faith. That is the Christian faith. If you're just tinkling on the fringes and say, well, and you're dipping your toe in here and in there, oh, dear friends, don't hold back to the goodness of the Lord. Don't hold back to the goodness of God. This man, Elijah, he done astonishing things. And I tell you, this is a warning to anybody in it. Is the fact there came a day when Elijah parted this earth and he went to glory. And he was laid in the sepulchre. And we read the fact that there was a person that had died and was being buried. And they saw the enemy out over the horizon coming their way. And they said, quick, let's get rid of this dead corpse. We can't hang around here. And they opened up Elisha's grave. They opened up his tomb and they let him down. And this man that they let down dead in Elisha's tomb, he touched Elisha's bones. And the man came alive again. He can't believe it, can he? Hey? He come alive again. And you think to yourself, wow, that is quite something. And you say, you shout out from down in the tomb. You say, oi, you up there, pull me up. He said, what are you doing alive? We thought you was dead. And you say, well, I've just touched the bones of a man of God. Hey? You just remember that while we're yet living, we have power with God and influence with men. And when we are dead, by God's grace, we might be dead, but we might yet just speak forth the word of God, because our lives have bore witness to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Dear friends, that's what I've got to share with you this morning. Remember the love shack? Twasn't all bad news, was it? Eh? Twasn't all bad news. We got life for living. Life for living. And we have the Savior, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Live for him. And the more you live for him, the more blessed your life will be. Live for him. Bear fruit. And then when you look back, and when you breathe your last breath, and when you see the world growing dim, and you know that you're going to pass into eternity, dear friends, you'll be glad that you served the Lord when you lived. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Father and our God.